The cyber landscape is constantly evolving, creating new challenges and opportunities to defend against sophisticated attacks. At Northrop Grumman, we provide a wide range of capabilities to stay ahead of these threats. To learn more, visit northropgrumman.com/cyber.
Welcome to the Defense and Aerospace Report's weekly cyber report, sponsored by Northrop Grumman. I'm your host, Vago Maradian.
And joining us now is Corbin Evans of the National Defense Industrial Association. He's the man at one of America's most important aerospace and defense trade bodies that oversees things cyber, as well as the cybersecurity maturity model certification effort for the membership. Corbin, thanks very much for joining us.
Vago, thank you for having me. Excited to be here.
And before we get started, our daily podcast is sponsored by Bell. Leonardo DRS sponsors our global coverage. Fincantieri Marinette Marine sponsors our coverage of naval warfare. General Atomics Aeronautical Systems sponsors our coverage of strategy. General Motors Defense sponsors our technology coverage. And Rafael Advanced Defense Systems sponsors our coverage of air and missile defense.
Obviously, we've had a change in administration. The Trump administration was focused very, very much on CMMC. As a way to improve the security of the entire supply chain. The new administration now is looking at how to proceed. And a lot of folks have a lot of questions about CMMC and whether it's the right approach, right? Everybody understands that it's important to do something. As often is the case, the question is what? From your standpoint, where are we on CMMC? And what's likely to come, right? Because this is a question I'm sure that the NDIA membership is asking you on a regular basis as well.
So I can tell you at this point from the DoD, we've received a full speed ahead notification from them that they're still moving forward with the planned implementation of the CMMC program, essentially trying to move forward with including the CMMC language requirements in contracts over the course of this fiscal year, and then over the next several fiscal years, leading up to fiscal year 2026, they're coming at the end of 2025, where all contracts from the DoD would include the CMMC contract requirement as part of all contracts that the DoD let following the end of fiscal year 2025. As you mentioned and alluded to, there is an internal review of the CMMC program currently being conducted by a Tiger team there within the Department of Defense. The exact results what changes that team is going to announce or recommend related to the program are yet to be seen or released publicly.
We're moving ahead, right? So the whole organism, it's not official, right? I mean, we're still going through the process of language, right? Entering into contracts and getting the entire ball game running at full speed, if you will. What have been some of the lessons learned, feedback you're getting from the membership, right? I mean, NDIA is a two-way organization. You receive messages obviously from the department, but you guys also act, Hawk Carlisle, Wes Coleman and the team there are feeding stuff into the system as well. What's some of the feedback you're getting from your members, large and small, that will help make this initiative as successful as it needs to be and less onerous?
I think at this point we're hearing that its adoption and implementation of the program is harder than both the DoD and the industry initially expected. We're seeing folks start to go through the initial certifications as part of the kind of the crawl, walk, run sequence that DoD has outlined for this program. And the first step in that is actually going through and having a group out of DCMA, referred to as the DIBCAC, go in and provide CMMC audits for certified third-party organizations that will then turn around and go out within the defense industrial base community and provide inspections and certifications for the CMMC program to actual defense contractors. So we're essentially at the certifier stage, and there have been some hiccups during that process. Some difficulties not only verifying implementation of CMMC level 3, but also some discrepancies in terms of where the companies felt that they were versus where the auditors felt that they were. I think we're seeing you know, the rubber meet the road a little bit here in terms of some of the complexities involved in such a large and difficult to implement program. This is a sea change among defense industrial base members. We're talking about a very large community. We're talking about a complex set of rules, and there's just some difficulties included in that.
And what are some of the recommendations you would make to the department to improve this process? Because at the end of the day, the concern is, right, Katie Arrington used to say $10,000 to $12,000 for a smaller company over 3 years. But a lot of folks will say, look, I mean, that's just the beginning of expenses on this. And eventually it's going to be very, very hard for smaller companies. And that actually it may drive some smaller companies under the umbrella of bigger companies that can assure that kind of security. What are some of the specific elements you would pass along to the team to improve it, the DoD team to improve it?
Yeah, so at this point, we do really want to keep a close eye on the costs associated with complying with this program. Obviously, the DoD did put together some estimates associated with complying with this program and included those in the interim rule that they released last fall. We've pushed back against those costs pretty vigorously, as has a lot of industry groups and individuals in industry, as being unrealistic in terms of the actual amount of cost that a company will bear to not only become compliant with this program, but to stay compliant over time. And so taking a hard look at costs is going to be an important part of any review that takes place related to this program. And Vago, I think you really put your finger on the pulse of another huge issue is the small business piece. Helping those small businesses not only understand how to implement the CMMC program and the standards required by the program, but ensuring that they have the financial and personnel resources available to them to ensure that they're able to get compliant in a reasonable timeframe. This is going to be very disruptive to the supply chain as folks receive their CMMC certifications at different times and are indoctrinated into the program in different periods. That's going to mean that some subcontractors for large or small primes are not going to be available to them as they have these CMMC requirements put into their contracts. And so flexibility, resources, education, ensuring that small businesses are not left out of the equation or the conversation here is going to be an important piece of the kind of future planned implementation of the CMMC program.
So I want to push a little bit on that, right? At the end of the day, it's a very noble goal. How do we improve security across the piece, right? Because it's often at these smaller companies where some of these breaches happen. I don't want to let any of the bigs off, right? But sometimes it's the company that has weaker security, the smaller organization that maybe does not have the resources of a major prime. Although I have to say, right, I mean, there have been unfortunate incidents involving major primes and penetrations. What are the ways that we can do this? Does there need to be a degree of government subsidization, right? I mean, at the end of the day, where the government can somehow help, do the major contractors, what is their obligation and their role in trying to do this, right? I mean, how do we do this from a more comprehensive standpoint? I have to say, right, on the part of the government, they would say, this is your obligation and responsibility to protect your IP, which is actually my IP. I'm the one often who's paying for this. And by the way, you ought to be smart enough to do this on your own and maybe take a smaller margin. What's the right way to look at this balance to get to the right place?
Well, you're certainly right in stating that there have been problems throughout the supply chain. In which there have been breaches or information lost both from large primes and small subcontractors. We're not blind to that. We are and continue to be supportive of a comprehensive supply chain security measure to ensure that this information loss, this tech data loss, intellectual property kind of flowing out to our adversary stops or at minimum, severely reduces. That's an important piece of the equation here, and we've been supportive of the CMMC program throughout, despite having a number of suggested criticisms and suggested improvements throughout. because we know that something needs to be done. That being said, I think there continues to be room for improvement around the CMMC program and the implementation plan. Obviously, the COVID crisis here has come at a real negative time and really kind of damaged the rollout and implementation timeline that the DoD has originally put forward. But we know something needs to be done. Exactly what that looks like, if it's the CMMC program or something else, at this point, you know, that remains to be seen. But we do need to find a way forward that right-sizes the amount of information that flows from DoD to prime contractors and then follows that information as it flows from prime contractors down to subcontractors. Being more mindful about the use and dissemination of controlled unclassified information is going to be vital to the success of the CMMC program or whichever cyber compliance program that is kind of put in place across the defense industrial base to ensure that we're raising the floor of cyber fortifications across those 300 plus thousand companies.
So how, you know, it's funny, right? I mean, at the end of the day, this is about data and data flow, right? How much of this is investment and how much of this is process? I mean, is more of this sort of better data discipline the key to doing this the right way?
There's a major piece of that. And that comes partially, that onus is placed on the department in which they need to do a better job of not only marking and identifying controlled and classified information and communicating to contractors what data that they create actually is classified as controlled and classified information during the course of the performance of their contract, but also ensuring that their own contracting officers and acquisition workforce are mindful of what information is being handed over to contractors through the course of performance during the contract. Stopping to ask the question, does a contractor need this information? Do they need the full specs? Do they need the full design or technical data backbone for this particular product or service? Is going to be an important part of actually helping to right-size the amount of data that's coming from DoD to the prime contractor and then is flowing down through the supply chain.
From your standpoint, how long will it be before we're going to be reaping the benefits of CMMC, right? I mean, so assuming that the administration stays, right, as you said, full speed ahead, which is the indication you guys are getting. When is a reasonable time, right? I mean, what are you telling your memberships who are trying to game this out budgetarily, strategically, before we're at sort of stage three, right? The full banana.
I think it, as part of the interim rule that was released last fall, there was a requirement in there for companies to provide a self-assessment of their own current cyber fortifications as it relates to the NIST 800-171 standards. What that does is it requires companies to go into the supplier performance risk management system, do a self-assessment of how many of those controls they have in place, and then communicate that to the government in order to be allowed to continue on future or to bid for future contracts or get recompetes on their current contracts. What that's already done is encouraged companies to take a look at where they are in relation to the current regulations. The DFARS 204.253.7012 clause has required companies to have a certain level of cyber fortifications in place or a POAM in place and basically outlining when they plan to get into full compliance with that DFARS regulation. Attention has already been brought to a number of members of the defense industrial base that they need to do more with relation to the current regulations. And that's something that we've been communicating to our members as well. Not only because it's the current regulations and we want to see all of our companies in full compliance with the DFARS, but also because it really helps companies prepare for compliance with the CMMC program. If companies are in full compliance with the DFARS.7012 clause, they're already well on their way to being compliant with the CMMC level 3 requirements. And that kind of gets them in a place where it's not easy, but it's much easier to kind of enact the additional controls required by the CMMC level three requirements to be compliant with that program quickly or in a way that allows them to not miss out on future contract opportunities. So to answer your question, I would say that we're already starting to see some of the benefits because of the increased profile that Ms. Arrington and others within the department have brought to this issue. And certainly, you know, congratulate her and others on achieving really kind of a really high profile around the CMMC and other DFAR cyber requirements. So we're starting to see the benefits already, but I think that will only grow over time as companies begin to prepare to enter into the CMMC program, whether it be at level one or level three or higher. We're going to see a gradual ramp up over the next several years, which I think is important to allowing companies to adopt and absorb these costs kind of at their own pace and ensure that they're able to continue to do business and perform on contracts.
One last question. There was a little bit of concern about the board structure at the very end. There seemed to be a disagreement between Katie and the board, right? The board is supposed to be nonprofit, completely objective. There was a concern that some of the composition of the board members may have had some skin in the game at the end of the day, which is exactly what we don't want. From an NDIA perspective, are you guys satisfied with the governance structure at this point to make sure, and not only governance structure, but the concern that some have expressed that the certification, those certifiers may come under pressure, especially from larger contractors, right? I mean, because at the end of the day, Corbin, if you're non-compliant, you're not able to participate in bids, right? So if Evans, you know, Meridian comes in and flunks a bigger company, that bigger company may put pressure on us because they don't like where this is going. Are you guys satisfied with the board structure and the overall model and it not creating potentially some conflicts of interest and challenges downstream?
Well, I think to answer your first question, we have, you know, obviously followed some of the challenges that the accreditation body has faced very closely and have a fairly close relationship with the CMMC AB and look to continue that. We provided a lot of constructive criticism to that group. And I think they all would agree that we've tried to be helpful, but have not let them off the hook when it comes to some of these issues. We continue to ask for more in terms of transparent Board of Ethics requirements, visibility around the conflict of interest among the board members is going to be very important to establish trust among the defense industrial base that this body is above board and not something that where any self-dealing is involved or there are any discrepancies or issues related to ethics or conflict of interest. And so that's something we continue to push for and will continue to work with the CMMC AB to achieve. Related to the compliance issue and some of the discrepancies there, that's going to be a really important issue going forward. There has to be a mitigation and arbitration factor included here to allow for companies to push back against certifiers when they find that they're not in compliance. Obviously, there, with more than 300,000 companies in the defense industrial base, we're going to see these controls and the CMMC requirements adopted in probably 300,000 different ways. And it's going to be important that certifiers, the C3PAOs, are well-trained and informed about some of the different interpretations and flexibilities around implementation of the CMMC requirements. And there has to be a kind of a mediation, part in place for companies that that don't receive full certification or aren't deemed in full compliance on the first pass by that certifier. Because as you said, it's going to be vital for their ability to continue to do business with the DoD and could potentially endanger their business moving forward. And we, the last thing we want to see is companies exit the defense industrial base as a result of this additional standard or requirement being included on contracts.
Corbin, thanks so very much for joining us. Really appreciate it. All the very best and look forward to having you back on again. Thanks so much.
Great. Thank you very much.
Everyone is a contributor at Northrop Grumman, and every day is an opportunity to help defend our nation and our allies. Visit our careers page at ngc.com to learn about joining the Cyber and Intelligence Mission Solutions team.